Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way once again, and glad to be able to share this Christmas message with you today. Still having a little trouble with my voice, so just stick with me for a little bit. We're hoping it's soon going to get better. We see the doctor this next couple weeks, about 9 days, and we might be doing a little bit extra looking to find out what's going on. But anyway, I'm glad to be able to share with you, and you tune me in by the way of WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM or over in the lower Ada area 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome each and every one of you. Others are tuning me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that's listening by the way of my website, I welcome you as well. Though my website is pastorkenharger.com. And then bring your mouse up over where it says Messages from the Lighthouse. And it will bring up Current Media. Click on Current Media, and the top message is the message for today. And there's a whole lot of other messages there that you can listen to in Current Media. There's some even in the past media that you're welcome to listen to if you so desire. By whatever way you tuned me in, I'm just glad to have you being a part of our service today. And I do need to thank those who do the financial support for my broadcast time. I appreciate them so much, and I appreciate what they've done. So a big thank you to Bell and Judy Hammond from the Belden area for your support, to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area for your support, and to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and she's been very faithful in supporting the ministry, and I appreciate that very much. And also Shiloh Community Church, that's where I pastored for 50 years and still attend there. At least I attend Saturday night and Sunday morning. By the time we come to the 10:45 service, we haven't been attending that one because we are both pretty tired by that time. But anyway, a weekend of worship at Shiloh begins at 6:30 Saturday night, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and in the contemporary service at 10:45. And you would be welcome at Shiloh, any one of those services. And over in the Greenville area, we have a campus that's located at the old Calvary Baptist Church. That's the corner of Grove and Luray Street in Greenville. And that service is 11 o'clock, and one of our assistant pastors, Pastor Paul, takes care of the message for there. A big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music. I appreciate her so much. We're sending out today the messages for the month of January and for part of February. And so we're looking forward to 2021. I think we're all going to be glad to put this year behind us and looking forward to what God's got for us in this new year. And we're fast approaching. This is week number 50. We've only got two more weeks left of this year, so whatever you've been trying to do or wanted to get done this year, you better get busy at it. And then we'll just know that that's exactly, the timing is in God's hand, and we just have to trust Him for that. Our message this morning is Christmas is a gift exchange, a gift from God and a gift from us to God. And we need to realize we make the exchange of gifts. And that's something that is pretty special. Well, we'll talk about that in just a few moments, but I got a song, and the first two songs don't have any lead to them, so they're going to start right out, and so that's the way we're going to start our service. And we're not talking about the wise men today, but the wise men have a message for us this morning that I'm so glad to be able to share with you. So let's listen to their message, and then I'll be right back and share the message with you. God bless you.
Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy come.
comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright. Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, and we need to know that's a part of what he wants us to have within our lives as we walk and talk with him. Christmas 2020. You know, one of the things I like about that song that we just listened to is it says comfort and joy. I thought before I started the message today, I would like to just address this thought for just a few moments of comfort. Comfort. I don't know if you realize it or not, but all of us has been in the grieving process since March of 2020. When this COVID virus hit us, and all of a sudden we're not able to do the things that we were accustomed to doing. And it makes a life change. There's so many things Bev and I was talking about it the other day. There's so many things that in our life have changed so much. It's hard for us to recognize what life was really like before COVID-19 came into our life. And one of the things I believe when you give up some things that's been a part of your life, and you have to try to make a new normal for your life, that's a grieving process, folks. I believe we're all in grief. We're grieving for the lifestyle that once we had. That's what happens when a loved one passes away. You're grieving for that lifestyle you had when they was here. And we need to know that the Father wants to comfort us. I like the thought of Jesus when he did the Beatitudes. I'm so glad he included in those 10 Beatitudes, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And that's what we need today, is a comfort from God. As we're trying to change our lifestyle, something that would not have been a part of our life, and something has been taken away that we really miss. So when I go to the prayer, and remember you, the listening audience, one of my main parts of the prayer this morning is a realization we need comfort from God. So let's go to him for a few moments. If you got an unspoken request that you'd like to have me remember this morning, if you think on that unspoken request when I come to that place in my prayer, okay? Dear Father, once again we come into your presence. We come, Father, because you have invited us. We come, Father, because the Lord Jesus said whatever we would ask in your name, in his name, you would do. So we come in the presence of the Lord Jesus himself, our mediator that we have between us and God. And we come and we're asking for your special blessing to be upon the listening audience this morning, Father. I started out my message and I'm thinking about the comfort that we need. So many lifestyles have been changed. People in a nursing home that can't have visitors from their family. People, even some in the dying process, that cannot have their family come in and see them. There's so many deaths that have taken place above and beyond that which is normal for us as a nation. And dear Father, we need special comfort. So dear Jesus, you're the one that said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." I pray that we might sense, if maybe for the first time, the comfort of the Lord Jesus and what it means to us to be able to have him to go to and to have him to rely upon as we go through these difficulties of our life. So once again, Father, I pray for the listening audience, whatever other needs might be. Some might be this lonesomeness. Some might be that they are in the hospital and can't have visitors, or in a nursing home and can't have visitors. I would just pray, dear Father, that you would minister to them in a very special way and meet their every need according to your will. Some might have financial problems. Some might have family problems. Whatever it is, Father, would you help them to work out the things that they need to do in order to believe that an answer came from you. And I want to pray at the same time for any unspoken request there is this morning. Right now, as that individual focuses on their unspoken requests, I pray that you might minister to them and meet that need, whatever it is. Father, I don't need to know what it is. You know what it is. They know what it is. And right now, I'm just asking, Father, would you help them? If they need wisdom, would you give wisdom? If they need a sense of direction, would you give them the direction? If they need to have some open doors and some closed doors, whatever way you want to do it, Father, I ask that you will bless those with unspoken requests this morning. And I'll thank you and praise you for that. Now, as we look at the Christmas story, what a beautiful story you've told us, Father, about the coming of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And today we want to talk about the exchange of gifts. He come as a gift to us. And now he has some things that he wants us to be a part of in our life as we give back to him. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what, folks? This exchange of gifts, this exchange principle, I believe it's a principle that is taught in the Word of God. It's a principle to help us understand the message that God wants us to receive from him, and then how he wants us to give it back to him. In the book of Luke, one day when Jesus was teaching, he said, "Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom." I like the way God gives. Let me go through those words again. He said, it's going to be a good measure. It's not going to be any cheating about it. It's going to be pressed down. It's going to be shaken together. And it's going to be running over. And then he goes on to say, "For with the same measure that you measure it out, it will be measured to give it back to you." That's the way God said he wants to give us this gift. But he says it also depends upon how you give. If you give stingy way, he said, expect God to do the same with you. You know, whenever I do a wedding and the days gone by, I haven't done quite as many weddings this year. Had to slow some things down. But you know, when I stand before the couple, I would say to them, you know what? Make sure you're good givers to one another. And make sure also you're not a stingy giver. Give as the best that you're capable of doing. I like to tell young couples when I'm getting ready to marry them the idea that they need to give it 110%. in order to see that that's the way it would work the best for him. You know, I love the way God tells us in the book of Galatians on this exchange principle. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, he said, if you're stingy on your sowing, you don't use much seed, don't expect a big crop. I think this first Christmas was a divine exchange. A divine exchange between heaven and earth. Divine exchange between God and man. A divine exchange between sinfulness and holiness. I love the way it is declared in the book of Philippians. It's not the part of the Christmas story, but it gives us the background for the Christmas story. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's saying, I want you to think like Jesus thought. And he's going to tell us what Jesus was thinking. Now, this was when Jesus was in heaven. This was when before he was a baby born in a manger. Being in the form of God, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death on that cross, and that was one of the worst kinds of death there was to die. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's a mindset that Christ had. When he was willing to become this little baby in a manger, he had to give up a lot, folks. He exchanged the position that he had with God the Father in eternity past, and he changed that to come down here on planet Earth for 33 years and to live as one of us and to show that he was sinless. And then him who knew no sin was willing to become sin for you and I. Jesus was willing to give all that up, folks, that you and I might receive so much from him. This is because of what he did when he left heaven. He came to this earth and became obedient to the death of the cross. Remember what Jesus said in John 3:14-15. He said, as Moses was lifted up to serpent in the wilderness. There was a time when the nation of Israel in the wilderness wandering were being bit by snakes. And several of them died. Many of them died. And so God had Moses make a serpent out of brass or brass material. And he stuck it up high on a pole. And then he said, now whenever anybody gets bit, what they got to do, they got to look to that serpent that's on that pole, and they will be healed. You know, many of them were healed, and it was wonderful. But God's telling us this. Just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and people were healed, one of these days, Jesus said, I'm going to be lifted up. I will be suspended between heaven and earth. And that was when he was on the cross. He was touching earth, and his arms were reaching towards heaven. His head was reaching toward heaven. And you know, right after that, Jesus said that. That's when he gives us the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. You know what God's saying? Just like in obedience, those people had to, if they got bit by a snake, they had to look to that serpent for healing. You know what was so sad about that? All of a sudden, they started worshiping the iron serpent. We need to realize we don't worship the cross, but we worship the Jesus of the cross. I always like to say at Christmas time, we don't worship the manger, but we worship the Jesus of the manger. And in resurrection, we don't worship the empty tomb. We worship the resurrected Christ. God has made a divine exchange for your life and for my life. And that's something pretty special. That's what adds to the Christmas message. I need to share with you some things that have been personal to me this week because I realized that I was in a grieving process. My wife said about 2 weeks ago, I think maybe a little longer than 2 weeks ago, she said, I want a Christmas tree up. I want some light in that front room. And so my daughter came over and we put a Christmas tree up, decorated it, and it's beautiful. But you know, then I started thinking, I need some light in my life too. You know, that's what we need. I think this year, for this Christmas season, we should enjoy the lights more than we ever enjoyed the lights before. Jesus is our light, folks. And we need to enjoy the lights. So I said to my daughter, I was going to try it alone, but then to get it up on the third floor of my lighthouse, that's pretty scary business for me at age 85. So she called, and I said, well, that's what I'm going to do. She said, I'll be right over. And so we put lights around the lighthouse, all the way around up on the third floor. And then a couple of days before that, we have a wraparound porch on the front of our house. And I put lights on the wraparound porch because that was right underground, easy to do. So we got lights on the lighthouse. We got lights on the wraparound porch. We got the Christmas tree up. And that's helping some, folks. But I needed my manger scene up. I need to tell you quickly about this story about the manger scene. We was figuring the other day, it's been about 35 years ago, that we got done with day camp out to the campground. And when we got done with day camp, we always had a trip to Deer Park. That's what it was called in those days. It's over at Muskegon area. And my wife said she didn't really want to ride the bus with all the kids, and there was another lady that wanted to go but didn't want to ride the bus. So my wife decided to drive our van that we had at that time. And she followed behind. Well, she came across a yard sale. And she has a hard time passing up a yard sale. So she stopped at the yard sale and they had a nativity scene. There is Mary and Joseph, two shepherds, two wise men, and some candles. And you know, she asked the lady what she wanted for that. She said $10. So Bevy bought that. And every year we put that up. I made a manger scene that's about 4x8. Sits on top of a wagon that sits in my side yard. And I had asked a fellow from the church to come and help me. Ned Springsteen came over and helped me. We put the manger scene up. And last night I had it lit. I got to tell you, sending forth the message because we got not only all those characters that I talked about, but we got a star on the top of the manger scene. Over to the left, I got a cross. Because you can't worship the manger without, we can't worship the Christ of the manger without worshiping the Christ of the cross. And that's a message given to my community as people drive by. God made this one Jesus to become sin for us. And he's reminding us that this exchange principle was that God was willing to take his son and give him for our sins. You know, this exchange principle is a lot of times used in relationship with money because there's always been so many different kinds of money in the Bible times. They always had money changes. They exchanged this coin for that coin and so on. But sometimes it also has to do with the exchange about a relationship. That when a relationship is broken, that God wants to mend that relationship. And he does it through a word called reconciliation. Bringing these two together. And God tells us in Christ Jesus, he brought the two together, the sinner to the Holy One, Jesus. And Christ became that sin for us that he might give us the realization of the eternal forgiveness of sin. You know, in the Old Testament, they'd bring a lamb to be offered as a sacrifice once a year. And the family would put their hands on the lamb. And then the priest would sacrifice the lamb. When they put their hands on, they were saying, all of our sins of this year are passed on to this lamb. And then the priest would kill the lamb. He paid the price, but it had to be done every year. But now Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he's paid the price once and for all, that now you and I, because of God's Son willing to become the Lamb of God, willing to take our sins, we now can have forgiveness when we place our faith in this one Jesus. But you know, it even goes further than that, which I would like to address in just a few moments. But you know what those angels said to those shepherds? They gave them a message. Today, to you, a Savior is born. He is Christ the Lord, and he is born in the city of David. And all of a sudden, with that one angel, there was a multitude of angels, and they were saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill. You know what? That's the message God wants for us today, 2020. Peace on earth and goodwill. God gave his Son to take away the turmoil of our life, the turmoil we have experienced during this COVID-19 thing. I want us to listen to a message. This is asking a question of Mary. Mary, did you know who Jesus really was? And I'm sure she had no idea of how much this one that was going to be born of her was going to be to the whole world. Mary, did you know? We'll listen to this song, and I'll give my voice a little break, and then I'll be right back and share with you. So this message starts right out.
I'd love to sit down with Mary. I want to know some things. Won't be able to ask her those questions till I get to heaven, but I did write a few of them down a few years ago. And on the Gaither bus one weekend, I handed this lyric to Buddy Green. And he called me on Monday and sang this to me over the phone. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby,
You've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know heaven's perfect lamb, this sleeping child you're holding is the great I.
Mary, did you know? She had no way of knowing all of that. But I like that song because it's telling us about all that Jesus did when he was here, all that he came to do, and all that he is still willing to do for you and I today in 2020. Christmas is going to be different in 2020. But I got to tell you, we still have to know that this message of Christmas is the same. It's about an exchange of gift. God gave his son. His son gave his life. And I love it that when heaven couldn't stay silent when this baby Jesus was born. Because it was told in the book of Luke, there were shepherds in the fields, which became caring for their sheep. And all of a sudden, that field became a cathedral. It became a meeting place between God and common everyday people. When we think about that, it was in the middle of the night that this message came. Just think, on a clear night away from the city lights, we can gaze into the night sky and see a multitude of stars. Bethlehem was not a big city. We can imagine the darkness that consumed the shepherds on this special night. It is there, as they're sitting there, and all of a sudden an angel is dispatched to them. A single angel, unnamed, came to them and their region of the world, and it gave a special announcement. Now listen to this announcement recorded in Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 to 12. Now they were in the same country, shepherds, living out in the fields. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." He said, "Good tidings of great joy I bring to you, the shepherds, but it's going to be for everybody. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. and this will be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth and laying in a manger. I love the beautiful setting of the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus. But think for a few moments of the audience that received this message from the angel. The shepherds in Jesus' day were not a popular group of people. They were considered social misfits. They were often accused of stealing things. They were religious outcasts. They were considered unclean and were not able to participate in the worship in the temple. They spent their entire lives taking care of sheep. The job was dangerous as well. And it was also very boring. While we do not know how many shepherds there were, the plural, they say in shepherds, lets us think there was more than one. And it is to this group of people that Jesus, God the Father, sends a message about the Lord Jesus. Bethlehem, just a little ways off, one of the smallest towns that there ever was, that baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem. I love God's story of the birth of Jesus, but I also love the fact that he told the common people. He told people like shepherds. He met with them in the cathedral and the out of doors in the middle of the night. I had a picture that I used on Facebook of the moon shining brightly, stars all over in the sky, and of some shepherds sitting down and the sheep in the background. And then all of a sudden, I could feel as though I was there. I think I would have done everything to be there. But dear people, we are there. We're there through the idea of the message that was given to the shepherds. This is something that's not just for them. It's something that's for all people, for the whole world. I love the story of Christmas, and I love that it moved these shepherds to action. You know, one of the things that should happen just naturally in our lives, when we come to know this one, come to know this one, the Lord Jesus, is that we need to realize that we need to come to the understanding that God is saying to us, I want you to gain something from this, but I want you to do something. They said, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That wasn't just that one shepherd's, one angel saying that. All of a sudden, it was with him a multitude of angels. Can you imagine what it was like when all of a sudden, on a starlit night, and when rocks and mountains around about, all of a sudden, these multitude of angels, thousands, were saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. It echoed in the hills, folks. I think it could almost be heard in Bethlehem. What a night that was. And you know, all of a sudden, it was quiet. It was back to the night just like it was. Stars shining brightly. The moon. I always like to think that maybe one of the sheep went bah, bah, and brought the shepherds back to the mind. What just happened? Did you hear what I heard? Unto us a child is given. Unto us a baby is born. He's from David's lineage. He's born in Bethlehem. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling cloth. And he's laying in the manger. What does all this mean? I'm so glad they just didn't dwell on it for a few moments. They started discussing it, and all of a sudden they said, when the angel was gone, let us go and see this thing that's come to pass. Let us go and see this thing that God has told us about. Let us go to Bethlehem. Now what I'd like to do for the rest of my time is kind of tell the story the way I like it. For many years, I told every Christmas the story of the shepherds. The shepherd's story is my favorite story of the Christmas stories. And you know, of all the different things that happen, I think because I identify with the shepherd, just being a common individual. And there they are doing their job. I can identify with the fact that they were rejected people, that people accused them of things that they didn't really do. You know, when they were saying that shepherds stole things, how crazy is that, folks? So shepherds didn't have barns. They had no sheds. They lived in the out-of-doors. Everything that they had with them. And then because of the kind of life that they lived, out in the out-of-doors and didn't get a whole lot of baths, they were considered unclean. And they couldn't go to the temple to worship. But you know, I love the idea that when God wanted to tell us about the birth of his son, Jesus, he dispatched an angel to the shepherds. And so the shepherds talked about it for a little bit. And then they got up and they headed to Bethlehem. And as they headed into Bethlehem, the scripture tells us they found, I like to think of it in this way. They started saying, do you know what a baby is that was born tonight? What baby, they would say. They see somebody else, do you know what a baby is that was born tonight? Do you know what a baby is that was born tonight? And nobody seemed to know what a baby was. And they said, the baby is born in a stable. Do you know what is a stable? And pretty soon they would say, well, there's stables here and stables there. I'm sure there were several stables. And so they started searching the stables. And I believe as they were doing that, all of a sudden they found one stable. And when he looked in, there was a man. There was a woman we know to be Joseph, the man. We know the woman to be Mary. And there was a little baby. And he had cloth around him. And he was laying in a manger. I believe there was straw. And the shepherds went in. And they looked upon that baby. And I knew the message that was given to them. Unto you, a baby is born, you shepherds. Not just to Mary and to Joseph, but unto you. Unto you, shepherds, a child has been given. Even though you've been rejected by the religious people of your day, God sent you a message that this child is born unto you. And as they look at the baby, I'm sure they sense this is God. This is God in the flesh. And you know, they told Mary all the things that the angel said. Can you imagine Mary hearing this from these shepherds as they stand there before him? Mary, we're taking care of our sheep tonight. And all of a sudden, an angel came. And the angel said to us, for unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's born in Bethlehem. And Mary, the angel told us we're going to find him. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling cloth and he's going to be laid in the manger. And Mary, all of a sudden, we were told that he's going to be our Savior. He's from the lineage of David. And all of a sudden, the sky was full of thousands of angels. And they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill. Mary hears all of that. I love what the scripture says. She pondered those words in her heart. She's thinking about them. She's pondering what all these words mean. That's why I don't believe Mary didn't know. Mary couldn't have known all that this one Jesus was going to bring about in her life. And you know what, folks? It hasn't changed that much. I can sit here by this microphone and tell you how much Jesus has meant to me. But you know, until you do what the shepherds did, until you search it out for yourself, it's no wonder Jesus later said, seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Ask and it'll be given. These shepherds went seeking. They heard the message. Now they want to have some action. They go to where the message was told to them, and they seek it for themselves. They want to find out about this message. And so they, right there in their presence, is this baby Jesus. I want you to know this morning, God is saying the story is the same to you and I. But you know what we got to do? We got to seek it for ourselves. We got to say, I want that message for me. I want that message to be a part of my life. And there is Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. What a scene. In a barn-like building, in a manger, lays the baby Jesus. You know what comes to my mind every time I read that? He who was rich when he was with the Father was willing to become poor that we might gain the riches of God. God wanted to exchange all that Jesus had with the Father. He wanted to exchange that and by paying for your sin and now saying to you, God wants you to know that now when he looks upon you as an individual, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus, he looks upon you as an individual and he sees Jesus in your life. It isn't your righteousness that makes you able to go to heaven. It isn't your righteousness that gives you that hope. It's the righteousness of Jesus. As Jesus comes into this world, and because of his perfect life, when you ask Jesus to come into your life and you ask for forgiveness of him, then you have the promise of this eternal life which he offers to each and every one of us. So this morning I want to share the rest of the message with you because there's a part of the message that sometimes is often left undone. All of a sudden after the shepherds had seen Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, they knew they had to head back to their sheep. They couldn't leave them forever. And so as they started heading out, they would say to people, do you know that baby Jesus is born? And they kept telling everybody, baby Jesus is in the end of town there. He's in a manger. Don't you want to go see him? Don't you want to see baby Jesus? Don't you want to know what he has to offer for your life? Don't you want to know what he's come to do? He's been born unto all of us. He said that he's for the whole world. And nobody paid attention to their message. nobody listened to their message. I don't believe Mary and Joseph had any other visitors, folks. I thought about this the other day. I think God is so good, and God is so special. I believe Mary and Joseph needed to have the visit from the shepherds. Can I be honest with you? That's one of the things that's caused me grief in my ministry, is there's so many people I'd love to sit down and sit with and just have a word of prayer with. But you can't even get in to visit them. And there's so many people that I can find now that I really don't have the energy. All of a sudden I'm realizing I'm 85. And I don't have the energy that I used to have. But you know something we need to know? That God is saying, unto us is given this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I trust that you will seek him out. I trust this Christmas time you will be one that will say, I believe the story. I want to receive this one, Jesus, into my life. And I want to go tell this same story that's helped me so much as I am telling you today. I want to tell that story to others. We're going to close with a song that says what we really need to do with this story is we need to go and tell it. Wait a minute here.
The prophet of so long ago was faithful unto death. He was buried, and God's people mourned for him. Later during battle, a soldier breathed his final breath. He was buried with the prophet. And when he touched those bones, the soldier stirred, and he came to life again. Now you may think you've grown too old as a soldier of the cross. Perhaps you've even laid your armor down. Oh, but take it up again, dear child, for God still leads you on. He will keep you in the battle, give you strength to go on marching, leading others till the final trumpet sounds. There's still power in those palms, faith to reach the throne and intercede with the wisdom God has given.
You can love and you can pray. God will help you find a way to go on serving,
bringing glory to his kingdom. Keep pressing on. There's still power in those bones. Don't grow weary, Christian soldier. There's still work for you to do. Show the young ones how to find abundant life. Show them how you learn that all God's promises are true, and that what you do for him will never die.